sports talk well done. Just like Maddie enjoys his steak. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, welcome back in, Rothman and Ice. He's our guy. Whether you need fantasy or NFL draft, college football, he's got it all at Fake Pigskin. He's Shane P. Hallam. He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Shane, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. Draft is getting closer and closer. I can't wait.
Yeah, everybody's got a mock, and I know you do as well. And these things are certainly tough to predict because how the draft board falls might, you know, dictate stuff on draft night that you can't predict now. But I'll ask it this way. We know the quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3, I would believe. If Atlanta doesn't take one at 4, who are the quarterback? Which quarterback needy team do you think is going to try to get Cincinnati off that 5 spot?
I think we really have, we're down to 3 candidates. It's Denver at 9, New England at 15, and then Washington at 19. I think those are the 3 teams left that really need it and have shown some interest. It wouldn't surprise me if it's the New England Patriots. We know this offseason they've spent a ton of money, which is very uncharacteristic of them. It seems like Bill Belichick was kind of sick of losing after 1 year. So if I had to make a prediction of, well, who's going to move up to 5 or 6, I think it's going to be New England. I think that this is their one chance to do it. And there's some perfect fits for Josh McDaniels' offense. We saw him at Ohio State today watching Justin Fields' pro day. That's really when they bring out the big guns. So I think New England has a heavy interest in Justin Fields, and I think he could be the target if they move up to 5.
You know, Shane, Pittsburgh, they made a couple moves today, but just honing in on the draft for them, as you've looked kind of at these first-round prospects, have you locked in on a guy that you think could be a nice fit for the Steelers kind of late there in the first round?
I think if Najee Harris, the running back from Alabama, is still sitting there at 24, I think they take him. The Steelers are not a team that hides their interest or blows a lot of smoke. They're a team that they bring in the guys they want, and that's who they draft. And the interest in Najee Harris has been out there. I think if he's gone, then the other big hole for the team is at the center position. So then I think you're looking at Landon Dickerson, the center from Alabama, Creed Humphrey, the center from Oklahoma, one of those players probably for them. But I think that's where we see them go first, second round. Center, running back, 2 holes on the team right now, especially after today. They're the only starting positions that the Steelers need to hammer down.
You know, Shane, you mentioned Najee Harris, and certainly we think a lot of him, and I think everybody should, kind of a prototypical NFL running back. But is he – I guess where would the over-under on him be in the first round as far as picks? Like you said, if he falls to the Steelers at 24, they might take him. But do you anticipate him getting there, number one? And is he the only running back in the first round in your mind?
I think he's going to be the only one that makes it in there. I think there are, you know, the 2 others of kind of the big 3, as I've dubbed them, Travis Etienne from Clemson and Javonte Williams from North Carolina, I think are as talented as Najee Harris and should deserve that consideration. But just the dominance of him is tough to pass up. So I think the other spot for him might be 18 to Miami. They seem very interested in a running back. Miles Gaskin was good last year, but they definitely need more of a bell cow, and it's a kind of a different offense. Their running backs coach is one of the 2 co-offensive coordinators now. So that seems to be a focus. But those are kind of the 2 teams for him that I think are good fits. I think it's a bet. If he gets 24, I think he's gone. But, you know, if 18 is a real possibility, and if so, then, you know, Miami would have him and the Steelers would be out of luck.
Shane, your favorite playmaker in this entire draft, not named Pitts, Chase, Waddle, or Smith. Who you got?
I'm going to go a little bit lower on the board, and a guy that's now my number 2 receiver in this class is Terrace Marshall, the wide receiver from LSU. Jamar Chase's teammate was Justin Jefferson's teammate. Absolutely killed his pro day, one of the most athletic, big receivers in this draft. I think he is going to be a steal if a team takes him late in the first round or early in the second round. He played about 80% of his snaps at in the slot in the Justin Jefferson role this past year. And 2 years ago, he played 80% on the outside and dominated both of those years. So even with the bad you know, the mediocre quarterback play. I shouldn't call it completely awful this season, but it was no Joe Burrow. He still was putting in a ton of work and beating defensive backs that are going to go in the first round. I think he's a player, if your team drafts him, you have a true number one wideout for a long time.
All right, so the Cleveland Browns, 26-59. You know, they just picked up Clowney. Does that change you in any way of what they might do at 26?
I was really down between pass rush and corner for them at 26, and I think Clowney maybe makes it a little more likely that they go corner. I think pass rush is still going to be a high priority. The 1 year of Clowney isn't going to change that, but now you don't really have to invest that highly. So my final mock that I've started kind of working up at this point, I'm leaning towards Greg Newsom, the corner out of Northwestern for them at 26, a physical, really sticky cornerback that would, I think, really be a good fit and really complete defense that, I mean, all these signings looks like it's going to be really nasty next year.
I wanted to ask you about the champs because the headline of the offseason is, hey, we're running it back. We got everybody back in the building, and obviously that's a tremendous way to start the next year. But looking at the Bucs there, picking last, obviously, in the first round, like, what are some needs? Is there a guy or two you've looked at that you would like to see suited up for Tampa here?
It's tough. I think a lot of people are like, well, maybe they draft their future quarterback, or maybe they go this direction for a player they could use in a year or two. But if you're bringing back everyone, then you're going for another Super Bowl. So I want a player, even if they're not starting, that can make an impact for me right now. And usually that's a player on the defensive side of the ball, because you're going to rotate players around and do a little bit of that. So I wonder if they just draft a really productive, good player who falls, that, you know, was projected to go earlier in the first round and falls down. Maybe a player like Greg Rousseau, the defensive end out of Miami, I think could be interesting to add a little more pass rush versatility, have a player that can play inside, play a little bit of the 5-3 technique if they need him to, and can play in the wide nine if they need him to as well. So someone that was highly touted earlier kind of fell down the board a little bit. I could see that being intriguing for them. But they're going to be one of the toughest picks to mock for that first round for sure.
Is Urban Meyer's draft as easy as any to predict in the first round? Is he takes Lawrence and then he takes somebody to protect him?
I mean, that seems like it would be the ideal way to go. I think that's definitely where I'll probably project him at. There are some spots. There's some big spots in the defense they need, but that value just doesn't match up for, say, a safety in the first round. So I think if the Jaguars draft smart, it's absolutely draft Trevor Lawrence. Draft someone that can play either offensive tackle or guard, protect him. And as we saw with Cincinnati last year, I mean, that needs to be top priority for your young quarterback.
Real quick, Trey Sermon, man, it was such a sad way for him to go out. No fault of his own, due to an injury right there in the natty. But, man, he was absolutely balling out leading up to that point. And a lot of what I see it is it's Harris and Etienne and all those guys up top. But where does he fit in this running back kind of class for you right now?
I think everyone's really sleeping on his value. I think the NFL really likes Trey Sermon to do what he did in those two games against two really good defenses in Northwestern and Clemson. I think it is going to have a big impact. So one of my bold predictions actually is that he's going to be the third running back off the board, that he'll go ahead of Javonte Williams, and someone's going to like him that much. And I know we talked about Pittsburgh and Najee Harris, but I think if Najee's gone, I think round two, Trey Sermon, I would almost lock it in if they don't get Najee in the first. They've had multiple meetings with him. He fits exactly what they want. So I say Trey Sermon is the second-round pick, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's the third running back off the board.
Great stuff with our friend Shane P. Hallam at Fake Pigskin. Thanks, my man. We will hit you back for the draft, hopefully, and we'll dial it in even further. Thank you.
Yeah, sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.